To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a mountain of a palm tree in the foreground of the setting sun comes to us from Pat Harris, who shared this scene on social media back on February 27th. And, well, it's Wednesday, and while this tree isn't a mountain, I thought that it was a fine way to welcome us all to the midpoint of another work week. So happy hump day. May God's light shine upon you regardless of the weather. Anyway, over the last couple of days, I was sharing some photos from unknown Facebook friends back in 2021 because I was struggling with a situation at home, and the day hasn't changed anything, but this morning I've decided to redirect my thoughts to the things I do know and the things I can control, my God and my thoughts and actions. Getting upset about the condition of the other people in our lives is understandable. However, the excessive worry and anxiety that is caused by our concern is something the enemy loves to see and will seek to increase to steal our joy and peace and to lead us into sin. When we are upset, our moods can cause us to do and say things that reflect the world, the flesh, and the devil more than who we are in Christ. When we are faced with a problem that we can't control with unknown or uncertain outcomes, that we are hoping and a praying to go a certain way, we can become blinded to the good things we currently have and see the world around us as hostile. Our worry and anxiety can take that one problem and make it into a mountain, and that mountain can collapse and become an avalanche that spills into the other areas of our lives. When we are upset with a personal relationship, we can become dissatisfied with our professional lives, our current place in life, the uncertainty regarding other areas of our lives. Our inability to fix this one problem can cause us to doubt our ability to do anything right. When one problem gets blown up and takes center stage of our lives, it can make everything look like a problem. But that's a lie. That's tunnel vision, and the enemy will use it to sow seeds of discontent, despair, depression, and anger into our lives to make us sin. In frustration over the situation I have been focusing on, my language has been foul, as if swearing will relieve my stress or make things better. My tunnel vision has caused me to echo the sentiments of the one I'm trying to help. Yeah, I hate my job too. That's a lie. Yeah, I hate my life too. Deal with it. Another lie with some hard advice, but still a lie. And I'm saying these things to myself. Nobody else gets that hard advice but me, and it causes me to look at the negative aspects of my life, when in fact, I am blessed, happy, and content. So, in this season of Lent, I'm repenting of the dialogue that I've been locked in, and I'm going to focus on who I am in Christ and release the problem to the Lord. I said what I needed to say and pointed people to the way they needed to go. And for today, I have to let things go and let God and the other people involved in this situation do what they are going to do. In the meantime, I'll draw close to God and enjoy the peace that I have in Him alone. So let's draw in with the next day of our 40-day journey with Martin Luther. It's the 19th day of Lent, and so we continue my personal walkthrough of Gracia Grindal's 40-day journey with Martin Luther to observe and celebrate the Lenten season. And this walkthrough of Grindal's devotional, it is my hope, or our hope, that we will get to know Martin Luther a little better as we seek to draw close to the Lord on our journey to Resurrection Sunday later this month. And so we continue with Journey Day 19. Martin Luther writes, I believe that God has created me together with all that exists. God has given me and still preserves my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all limbs and senses, reason, and all mental faculties. In addition, God daily and abundantly provides shoes and clothing, food and drink, house and farm, spouse and children, fields, livestock, and all property, along with all the necessities and nourishment for this body and life. God protects me against all danger and shields and preserves me from all evil. And all of this is done out of pure, fatherly, and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness of mine at all. For all of this, I owe it to God to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. If we believe it, this article should humble and terrify all of us, for we sin daily with eyes, ears, hands, bodies, and soul, money, and property, and with all that we have, especially for those who even fight against the word of God. Yet Christians have this advantage, that they acknowledge that they owe it to God to serve and obey him for all these things. Now it's from Martin Luther. And today's biblical wisdom is from Isaiah 42, 5 through 7. And the word of God says, "Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness." And at this point, they ask us to sit quietly for meditation and silence. And so you can pause the podcast or stop reading and sit quietly for a few minutes or however long you feel comfortable with, and focus on your breath and calm stillness in the present moment. And you can reflect on what Martin Luther had to say and the biblical wisdom for today. But when you're done with that, we can move on to our questions to ponder. And the first one is, if God daily and abundantly provides all the necessities and nourishments for this body and life, why is it that so many are poor, hungry, and lacking the abundant life? Well, simply, the world has been broken by sin. Our sinfulness, selfishness, and ignorance keeps us from being the people God created us to be. The world, the flesh, and the devil war against us to love ourselves more than others. And selfish self-interest makes the world of a hostile place. Also, often, the poor and hungry are locked in hopelessness and generational sins that keep them living in a victim mentality. So how do you like that? Anyway, we move on to the next question, which says, in what way does confessing faith in the creator of heaven and earth make us a light to the nations? Confessing faith in God, the Creator, and speaking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ make us a light to the nations because our witness could be used by the Lord to bring people into his kingdom, to take them from death to life, from darkness to the kingdom of light. That's why. And what kind of advantage do Christians have in knowing what they owe to God? Christians who understand what they owe to God have the advantage of knowledge and wisdom to know the truth. And to know the truth is the beginning of hope. To know what we owe to God could cause us to love him and to obey him. Our advantage of knowing God and the truth could cause us to reap the benefits of a righteous Christian life, free of sin and confusion. And we move along to today's Psalm fragment, which is Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. And we read it, and it says, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals, that you care for them." And we move along to our journal reflections, which tell us to make a list of what God has given you and for which you owe God praise, service, and obedience. In what ways are you giving to God what you owe God? What more might you or should you be doing? God has given me life, a loving family, good health, talents, abilities, intelligence, peace, joy, love, and freedom. I do this blog and podcast to encourage others to realize what they have been given and to inspire them to trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior and to follow him with the way they live. I try to give God what he gave to me, love and devotion, and I try to represent him as much as I can. I can't do enough to thank God for what he has done or to give him glory. But I will continue to do so as a labor of love and to fulfill my life's purpose. And our next journal entry asks us to meditate on today's psalm fragment, which said, when I looked at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Meditate on that. And write about your feelings or thoughts, the reading evokes in you. Well, the immensity of the universe and the beauty of God's creation caused me to have similar thoughts. How could a creator God who made so much care for me? I don't know how or why, but I know he does, and I rejoice. And finally, they ask us to reflect on times you have seen some great evidence of God's creative power. Write a short poem to express your feelings. Oh boy, here we go. Roses are red, violets aren't blue. The evidence for God is all around us, and there's no end to the things that God can do. Yeah, I've seen a lot of evidence. In God's creation, you know, I've been to Niagara Falls and Victoria Falls, natural wonders of the world, and I've been all around, you know, so those are pretty big evidences of God's grandeur in creation. But really, just the sun, setting sun, wherever you are, gives you that opportunity. And of course, there's amazing things he's done in my life personally to show me his truth, the truth of his word, and the new life that I can have through faith in Christ alone. And this is eternal life, and I'm living it, and I'm loving it. And problems are daunting, but when I focus on that, I can have peace and joy every day. And that's what we have to do. I mean, we do have to take care of the problems before us, but there's only so much we can do. We do everything we can do, and then we give the rest to God. And in the meantime, we can have peace and joy by reflecting on all the things that he's given us and done for us. Anyway, that moves us along to the prayers for the life of faith, which tells us to pray that your eyes will be open to see the greatness of God and the grandeur of creation, and also in the little gifts you receive from family and friends. So let's pray that. Lord, open my eyes to see your greatness and the grandeur of your creation, and all the little gifts I receive from you through my family and friends. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And finally, the prayer from today's journey is, dear Creator, Redeemer, and Comforter, open my eyes to your grandeur and all the gifts you have given me abundantly. Help me to love, serve, and praise you forever. Amen. What a great prayer. And yeah, that's it. You know, why do we have hope? Because we're doing that. We keep our eyes open to the gifts that he's abundantly given us. And we seek to love and serve and praise him forever. So do that. Anyway, that moves us along to today's Bible verse, which comes from the Quick Scripture Reference for Counseling by John G. Cruis. This morning's meditation verse comes from the section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And today's verse is Luke 12:15, which says, then he said to them, beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Today's verse falls under the sixth point of our Counseling Reference Guide's resource section on contentment, coveting, and priorities. And that sixth point is, life does not consist of what one possesses. Today's verse points to a fundamental fact of life that is difficult to grasp. Our lives are not defined by what we own. Although we will cling to things to our dying breath, the end of accumulation is dispersal. What you gather will be scattered. We don't build anything that will last, except a relationship with the Lord. That's why greed is a sin. It causes us to worship something else more than God, and ironically, all of our accumulating won't ultimately satisfy us, or it will lead us to believe a lie that will send us to hell. I'm happy with all the things in my fortress of solitude. But as Jesus told the rich man who was going to build new barns to hold all his accumulated wealth, that sentiment is foolish. God will call us to account for our lives, and the things we have will be shown to be things that God provided for us and will prove to be our undoing. So beware of greed and know that your life consists of knowing who you are in God's kingdom and the things you do to give God glory. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today we continue sharing from According to Your Word, Morning and Evening Through the New Testament by Stephen F. Alford. And in his devotionals, Alford prompts us to read a chapter of the New Testament. Today's chapter is Luke 8. And from Luke 8, he shares verse 35, or a portion thereof, which says, "Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus and found the man." And Stephen Alford writes, "A wonderful miracle has been performed. A man who was more of a beast than a human being has been completely changed. Though no man could bind him, not even with chains, or tame him, Christ had delivered him. The people in the surrounding district heard of it, and they came out to see what was done. What did they see? They saw Jesus. To whom did they come? They came to Jesus. In doing so, they found the man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind." And Alford ends with praying, "If I am to see what you can do and will do, I must come to you." Amen. We must come to you. Yeah, if we want to see what Jesus can do and will do, we got to come to Jesus. And that's obviously from one of the miracles of casting out demons. And they couldn't even bind with chains, who ran around naked. And, you know, the people were afraid after they saw him in his right mind. You know, and then, and that's, you know, not for nothing. That's a reaction that people get to your freedom in Christ. You know, they see your life transformed by your faith and, you know, see the things changed, and people get worried. They get concerned. They go, "Oh, he's going off the deep end," or, you know, "He's not in his right mind. He's got that religion." Well, what we have is the abundant life that Christ, you know, actually meant for us to have. You know, it's not some easy believism or some, you know, a weekend faith that we take out in hard times and, you know, for holidays and Sundays. You know, the faith that Jesus wanted us to have was the one that would propel us through life and to cause us to serve him and obey him and, you know, represent his kingdom. And when we apply his wisdom to our life, you know, we change. You know, we can see, you know, we can, if you want to see what he can do and will do, you have to, you know, come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, he'll do some amazing things in your life. You know, God's creation is a small indication of what he can do. And, you know, that transformative and creative power can be, you know, poured out in your life. But you have to believe it, receive it, and follow Christ. And that's why we do the blog and podcast. We were big rebels. We were, you know, desperately wicked in so many ways. And the Lord was gracious to show us the truth and to show us what we owed to him. And we owed him our very lives. And so we've given it, you know, we've surrendered our life to his will. And amazingly, it wasn't a drudgery. It was the pathway to peace and joy and love. And I wish I had known it sooner. But the way we do, you know, the Christian faith in this world doesn't do it justice. It's not, you know, it's amazing what we don't teach our children, you know, the fundamental facts of our faith and the facts of life. We often provide and shelter our children from the truth, and they need to know the hard truths, and they need to know the good news, and how they relate to one another. So few people know it. And that's why that's why we have such an advantage when we know who we are in Christ and what we owe to God, and the fact that we can overcome, and you know, God's got a better life for us. And so we encourage you to follow the Lord Jesus and to do what he says and to repent. And when you do it, you believe me, you won't regret it. You may lose something, but what you gain is far more than you'll ever lose. So Today is Wednesday. We have work, and then we have Celebrate Freedom Recovery Ministry or Growth Group at Starpoint Church tonight. Anyone who's listening who's local, you can go to Starpoint Church at 6:30 and sit in with us to get free from your hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and to repent and get real with the Lord. You know, that was a big part of my journey. You know, even though I had faith in Christ and was saved, I was a mess. And even though I thought I was, you know, I'd been set free, at least I had been saved, there was more that the Lord wanted to do to change me and make me more like Jesus. And I'm still a work in progress, but I sure am not the person I used to be. And I forgive the people who would say that I should go back to the way I was. There's not many people, actually, you know what, there's not many people would say that, so they sort of like the new me, even though they might not understand it, and they may have disowned me as friends. I don't think anyone would be able to look at my past and say I was better off before I went to Jesus, but some people might, and I pray for them, and let's pray for you. And myself. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom, Lord. We thank you so much for the freedom you've given us, for the power to overcome, for the life-giving spirit you've given us that leads us in the way we should go. And so we ask for your help in leading us today. Lord, we also pray for anyone who's listening and reading today's message that you'd come alongside them in their life of faith and in their prayer request to help them and bless them. And Lord, we pray for you to go before us today. Open our eyes to the things you want us to see and help us to do the things you would have us do. Because all we want to do is represent you and your kingdom here on the earth. And Lord, we need your help with that. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.